Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Reformers Co. My guest today is a new friend, and I fell in love with her immediately. She's life, she's life-giving, and she's doing something that is so amazing. I wanted her to share her story with you today, and her name is Deja Ard. Welcome, Deja.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, just a few weeks ago, I got this phone call from our children's pastor, Matt McKay, and he's like, you have got to meet Deja. You've got to meet Deja. And I'm like, okay, I want to meet Deja. And so I went over to your school, Spectrum of Love.
Yes.
And you're in Duncanville, which is real close to where I live. And your school is specifically a daycare for autistic children?
Yes, it's specifically for autistic children. We do accept other children with special needs, but yes, our target market is autistic children.
Hence the name Spectrum.
Exactly.
Because that's Spectrum of Love, because they talk about if you're on the spectrum or not. How did you
come about this whole thing?
Exactly. Thank you, Deja. Because we were just talking and you went to school for other things. You weren't called to education.
No.
You weren't called to take care of or to have a school for autistic children.
Right.
That was not part of your plan.
Right.
You know, so what happened?
Yeah. You know, I never woke up and said, you know, I want to own a daycare center. You know, I went to school for digital video production, and then I got into luxury real estate, and then, you know, came about here I am with a child care center for special needs children. So my journey is that I had a son who my parents felt like, you know, had some delays. You know, at the time I was very skeptical. You know, I'm like, you know, he's 2 years old. Why would you say that? All kids, you know, they develop at different times and, you know, things of that nature. And then, you know, but I noticed that he didn't fit in anywhere. No matter what daycare center we went to, he was always getting kicked out. I couldn't take him to church with me. I couldn't take him to the store with me. You know,
so what were the things that he did? I'm not been around autistic children. So give me a little bit of understanding.
That's a good question. So my son and many other children who have autism, they struggle with social ability. They may not respond to their name. They may not greet you whenever you try to greet them. They won't have eye contact. As a matter of fact, they may be extremely aggressive, because if you try to speak to them, if you try to have any kind of social interaction, they view that as a threat. So to take him to, you know, church when everyone wants to hug and speak, you know, that was terrifying for him. Walmart, the fact that there's so many people around was terrifying and overwhelming. And, you know, even as adults, we struggle with feeling overwhelmed, or, you know, that we're in crowded spaces. So he would get extremely aggressive. He was nonverbal. And he really, really struggled. I couldn't understand my child. And so it was very frustrating. It was very disheartening. And, you know, as a mom, all you want to do is make your child happy, especially at 2 years old. You know, you're just like, I just want them to be happy. And it was just something that I've never been able to do before. And so I said, you know what, if he's not talking by, you know, within the next month or so, fine, I'll get him evaluated. And so I put him in a home daycare, which only had a couple of kids. And that lady, every day, she's like, you need to get him evaluated. And it was one day at around 11 p.m. She sent me a text and said, hey, I just wanted to make sure that you were able to fill out that application. And I said, okay, fine. And so I went and got him evaluated with the school district and found out that he did, in fact, have autism. And that's where, you know, my journey began. So it was very hard, but I will say that had I not had people around me that kept telling me and, you know, was on top of me to get him evaluated, I probably wouldn't have.
Why? Why is that so hard for a parent?
It's extremely hard for a parent to accept that there's something wrong. It's hard to accept that the dreams and visions that you had for your child, whether it's playing soccer or being on a cheerleading team, you know, we don't want to think that that's not possible. We don't want those labels. We don't want anyone to tell us that there's anything wrong or to judge us or our child. So it is extremely hard to accept that there may be a delay or where there may be, you know, something that doesn't have a cure, if you will. So it was very difficult. But, you know, I went on a mission trip around this time. I fell into depression because, you know, once you realize that there is something wrong with your child, then you think of all the things that you did wrong. So it's like, oh my gosh, did I eat too many sweets? Did I have too much caffeine when I was pregnant? Like, you know what? Wow. Yeah. You go all the way back and reevaluate every problem, potential problem, or how you could have caused your child to be that way. And so I fell into depression. I felt ashamed, you know, and then I was embarrassed. I was sad. I was confused. I didn't understand how we got here and where to go from there. So around that time, I was accepted to get into this missionary trip to Costa Rica. And it was for single parents like myself. And every parent in that group, I've never met any of them before. So it's just a little weird that I was so okay with going.
Yeah.
So I didn't know these people at all, but you know, I signed up, they approved me and I'm like, okay, this must be God. And so I met them all at the airport. That was the first time I met them. And
wow, that took a lot of courage for you.
Yes, it did. And so once I got to know everyone, you know, I was explaining my story and I was like, you know, I am a happy, bubbly person, but I am going through something. I just found out my son has autism and I don't see a light anywhere. You know, I'm a single mom. I don't have family here in Texas. I don't have a lot of friends. And now I have a child with autism. As I connected with these group of people, I found every single one of them either had a special needs child or was a special needs teacher. And I'm like, this is God. I was so thankful because they literally poured so much into me. They poured so much into me. They were like, it's not your fault. These things happen. There's nothing wrong with him. He's just different. We just approach things differently. That was the hope I needed. So after that trip, it was a game changer. And from then, I learned that, you know, I started praying a lot more. And that's when God just kind of downloaded in my spirit that I have to take this on full fledged. So, you know, at the end of that trip, I was able to accept everything. I was able to come out of my depression completely at that point. I said, okay, I'm going to take this thing on. And from there, I started reaching out to the insurance company. I started looking for different resources. And, you know, soon I found out that, okay, you know, even though my son is 2, even though we have this diagnosis, it's not a diagnosis from a neurologist. And even if I get a diagnosis from a neurologist, they only take one type of test. And that particular test, they don't cover, but it's over $1,000. And so it's for some families, that's hard. It's hard to pay $1,000 just for a test when you have 3 other documents saying the exact same thing. So, through God connecting me with people, we were able to get that covered. He got his official diagnosis. I sent it to insurance. And then from there, I would send my son to one therapy center and he would be there from 7 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. I would pick him up. I would drive him to another center. So it took 30 minutes. I had to time it exactly. And I'm like, okay, 30 minutes is exactly enough time to throw some French fries in the back, to head over there, to give him a hug and drop him off and do more intensive therapy. So 12 o'clock to 6:30, he was in therapy. So he had really long days at 2 years old. He did not nap. He did not play. By the time he got home, he was exhausted.
And you thought that this was the best thing for him at the time?
Yes. I didn't want to be too soft. I wanted to push him as far as I could. No, I didn't want to break him. I'm his mom. I know that I'm like, okay, he's starting to crack, you know? So I pushed him this hard, but by doing that, I was able to get him to where he's in typically developing classes. He's 6 years old now. He's perfectly fine. He talks to everyone. He talks. The simple fact that he talks is a blessing.
Amazing.
You know, he talks to everyone. He loves everyone. He's very kind and loving and And you know, you wouldn't know, you would have no idea that, that he struggled with this.
So God helped you find the right schools, the right places to go. That was perfect for him at the time. You didn't know how to help him, but you found the people who didn't know how to help him.
Yes. You know, I can't even say that I found, I really feel that God just led me, led these people to me, because I never really looked for it. But once I did accept it, all of these things, I saw all these doors that were available. I saw the challenges, but I also saw the doors that were available. So from there, I decided, you know, so many families are struggling with this and they don't have the resources or the help that I have. And God just put on my heart to create something where parents don't have to fight so hard. They don't even have to look further than this building to get childcare and group therapy at the same time. So I've created a product that gives these parents everything I wish I had.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes.
What's your son's name?
Moses.
Moses, but he's not your only son. You had another son.
Yes, he has a big brother, Malachi.
So Malachi was three?
Yeah.
Three
yeah.
when Moses was born?
Mm-hmm.
How did you end up as a single mom, and how did you handle being a single mom of two young little boys?
Yeah. So, my first son, Malachi's dad, it did not work out with us, but I soon met, would now be Mo's dad. And so, he took us in, you know, he asked my parents, can we get married? And all of this good stuff. So it was an amazing journey. He took me and my son, and then we had our child together. And then a few years later, he passed away. And so at that time, that was right around the time where I found out that my son had autism. So it was, you know, grieving for a while, you know, grieving for my Mo's dad, and then also battling with, you know,
So
the diagnosis.
So it wasn't just like you had this healthy family marriage.
Correct.
And then you had this son.
Right.
But you were grieving the loss of Moses' dad.
Yes.
At the same time, you found out that Moses did have autism.
Yes.
But God gave you the strength. You found a group of people who understood what you were going through.
Exactly.
How important is that?
It's extremely important, because I wouldn't have considered myself a single parent, let alone needed to leave my kids, you know, to go and serve the poor in another country. I would have never thought to do that. But, you know, God placed me there around people that were like-minded, you know, that's been through what I've been through, that are single parents, that have children with special needs. That's such a niche thing, you know, it's such a small group.
Right. You don't find it everywhere.
Exactly.
In every church or in every community or every family situation, right?
Exactly.
And so you're watching all your friends or your cousins or your brothers or sisters raising
children. They're married. They just got the house of their dreams. You know, they're excelling in their careers. Meanwhile, I lost the love of my life. Now I have two babies, you know, and I don't know which way to go. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. And then to find out that one has autism. And, you know, even in that, there's a dynamic even with the brothers, because, you know, one will feel like, you know, why does he get special treatment? Why is it okay for him to do this? But if I do that, you can't have the same standard for them because they have different capabilities. But because they are so different in their capabilities, that then that creates, you know, issues within the brothers.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up, because not only do you have a child now who is autistic and needs some different kind of training and teaching.
Yes.
But it is a family dynamics. We see so many marriages break up over special needs, right?
Absolutely.
The pressure that this brings or the tension that this brings or the heartache, right? Or the disappointment, the loss of dreams.
Yes.
And it really does impact the family.
It really does.
So what you're doing now, we're calling it reformers. You are bringing a reformation to a segment of society, and that is education and family, children with autism, family with children who have been diagnosed autistic.
Yes.
So that's your round. That's your niche.
Yes.
And so now you've walked through this.
Yeah.
And how does it go from that instead of selling real estate to opening up a daycare in Duncanville, Texas.
You know what's funny? God told me that I was going to Duncanville before I knew what Duncanville was.
That's crazy.
I've never been there.
Who goes to Duncanville, Texas
intentionally to just build all this and do all this? Yeah. And I'm like, Duncanville? That sounds like somewhere in the country. Like, what is that? And so, yeah, with my background in real estate, I knew how to look up, what the income in the area was, what the family dynamic was, and, all the statistics and everything. And I was so saddened by, the neglect of the city. And that's not to say that the city officials are neglecting. They are very much men and women of God. They very much care. It's just an unfortunate situation. And so, in Duncanville, you don't have proper resources. There's not ABA therapy out there. There's not a lot of knowledge of what autism is. There's not really a lot of places that are even diagnosing, let alone, saying, hey, there might be some concerns here. So coming into Duncanville, it was definitely a leap of faith because, where I live, everyone knows about it. There's therapy centers on every block. So it's definitely been a challenge because, unfortunately, special needs children, they get discarded. And I think that's mainly because people don't understand how many special needs children there are. So coming into Duncanville, I just so happened to find a building, and I'm like, okay, God, all right, here we go again. and so I reach out and I find out that the owner had a special needs daughter who passed away. So he had a heart for that. So although I didn't have the credit that I needed, I didn't have the funds that I needed, his heart wouldn't let this go. So he approved me to get into this building. And, from there, that's when the journey began to start changing lives.
So good. So good. So here you are in Duncanville. Now yes. You're in my city, right? I take on DeSoto, Cedar Hill, Duncanville, yes. Lancaster, the best Southwest as mine. So now you're in my city and yes. Now I have to take responsibility for you. And so here you are. The word that you guys used is a word that we're using at Trinity Church. And you said you want to build a prototype.
Yes.
You want to build something. So what is different about your daycare, your center
yes.
from other daycares?
That's a great question. So Spectrum of Love is catered towards children with specific delays, whether it's social skills or functional skills, life skills, these type of skills. So that's not what you would typically find in any other daycare center. They're memorizing their ABCs and they're doing more curriculum. We are more focused on staying seated at the table, completing a task, things that you would actually find in ABA therapy. It okay. teaches a child what is acceptable behavior in any type of situation. I spoke with the mayor. I've spoken with the ISD in the area. I have very good connections with city officials, and they all kind of came down to the same thing. And they just said, we need this help because when these children are getting to school and they're starting kindergarten, they're not able to perform or stay focused and at a level that is conducive to their future. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I focus on those delays. I focus on functional skills in a classroom setting. So when they leave my center, they're starting off on a better foot in kindergarten.
So good. So what you're providing for families,
yes.
what you needed when you found yes. out that Moses was autistic.
Exactly. And so our families, we've assisted over 100 families in Incredible. Less than a year. And, they love us. Our parents love us because for one, we don't call because their child, is screaming, we don't call because their child isn't potty trained yet. And these are the stories that they tell us, other daycare centers didn't want them there because they found out that they had autism, like it's a disease or, something like that. And so when they come to us, they arrive to open arms. I can't tell you how many families have flown in just to tour the center. Just, you know, they've sold their homes. They moved here to Duncanville so that they could be a part of the center. And we are literally changing lives. And that's what I wanted. So I do want to add that families in this area do not typically have the proper insurance. If they don't have the proper insurance, they cannot get the proper therapy to help their child and change their lives. What we do, we take on group therapy instead of, you know, your typical classroom curriculum. And while they're with us, which is typically anywhere between 9 and 11 hours in a day, that's what we're doing. We are doing group therapy. We are teaching them these functional skills and no additional cost to the parents. We have behavior therapists in our classrooms. They are not teachers. They are not caretakers, you know, that is typically hired, you know, anywhere from $8 to $11 an hour at a daycare center. These people are, has 5 years of experience in therapy. They went to school for this, that this is what they want to do. And because of that, we are able to change lives. We're able to see real change.
So how are you paying for this, Deja? Where are the resources coming from? Let's get down to the nitty gritty, because I believe, to be honest with you, I believe that somebody's going to be listening to this, that their heart is so touched and they want to see you thrive and become all that is in your heart to help all of these families. Yes. I mean, people who don't have a special needs child doesn't understand sometimes the pain or the hopelessness or feeling so alone.
Right.
If they get a phone call and say, come get your kid, and they're in the middle of work day, you know, just nobody understands, but you understand because you walk through it.
Yes.
But what, how are you resourcing this?
Honestly, obedience. I'm not going to lie. It is extremely hard. I've given up my home. I've given up countless birthdays, my kids' birthdays and Christmases. But, you know, by staying obedient, God told me to open in August of 2020, right smack in the middle of COVID.
Incredible.
We were still trying to figure out what it even is, you know, around that time. And I'm like, God, millions of people have lost their jobs. And you want me to open a childcare center for special needs kids on top of that? And so God said now, and by doing that, you know, here we are in 2022, and now there's grants available and there's different things available. So because I opened on that day of that year, I'm able to get and take advantage of the grants. So how long will that last? I'm not sure, but I know that as long as I'm obedient, God didn't take me this far to only take me this far. God has a heart for these kids, and I see it. I see God's heart for these kids, and I see the doors that he's opening. I see the favor and anointing that he has on my life and literally on my hands. So I'm just here. I know God will send the right people and the resources for me to do the assignment that he's given me.
I believe it too. God doesn't ever call us to do anything that he doesn't have the resources.
Right.
He does it through people.
Yes, he does.
So somebody out there, come on, you guys, share this with other friends and people who can come alongside Deja in Duncanville. It's called spectrumoflovechildcare.com. So if someone wanted to get in touch with you, and give you $1 million. Come on. How do they do that?
Well, I would say emailing would be best because I'm constantly checking my email. It is extremely long. So it is my first name, Deja, D as in Delta, E-J-A dot A-R-D as in Delta at spectrumoflovechildcare.com.
That is a long one.
It's so long.
But it's worth it, you guys. I would recommend you to fly in to come by her school and see what she's doing. The building is in a lot of need of repair.
Yes.
Trinity Church and Myra Missions and Amen Church. They've done some things there with you to get the community to know about it. But we are looking for some men and women to come alongside Deja. She's got a big vision, a big heart, and she's got the skills and what it needs to make it happen. She's just looking for some partners to come alongside. Yes. And so we're seeing that happen. We know that as a reformer, you can't do anything on your own. You need a whole collaboration, right? You need a group of people. So we're calling out on the government people and the city council and the school board, because it is a school, it's education.
Yes.
It's family and education, yes, mostly. We're looking to churches and to and other organizations, business people who can come alongside and see this vision come to pass. I'm so proud of you, Deja.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And just one last thing that I would like to add, you know, the families that come into our doors, these are families, like you said earlier, they're in the process of divorce because mom doesn't agree with dad on, you know, how to help their child with a special need. So this isn't just the child. It truly is the family. It is affecting the family dynamic. So, you know, resources to help these families get through, you know, their things. You know, a lot of children that are abused, most of them are with special needs.
Oh my goodness, I never even thought about that.
Yes. And it's not to say that these were just horrible people, but people snap, like, you know, they really lose the patience and, you know, they get to a point where they lose themselves and it's become such a burden and they've literally lost sight of themselves and what they want, that this is their child. So, yeah. I mean,
so you don't want to just be a daycare center for the kids. You want to be a resource for
absolutely
healing families, yes, and marriage and, yes, resources for whatever, right, is impacting the family. Yes. So your vision is huge, right?
It's huge.
All right. Right before we go, just tell me one story. Can you think of one story of one child, one family where Spectrum of Love has really made a difference and impact?
Yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh, there's so many.
But I know there are.
I'll just give you one of the most recent ones. We had a student that came in and, you know, well, it started off with several conversations over the phone before she was able to bring her child in. But, you know, she said, hey, I know you're the director, but I would really like to speak to the owner. And so I'm like, okay, sure. You can speak to me. I'd be happy to help. And she said, well, thanks for taking my call. And she said, you know, I just want to know if you're going to accept my child because he has autism. And when he gets upset, he bangs his head on the ground. He has knots and scars and bumps all over his head. Doctors, no matter what medication they give me, it doesn't stop. No matter what happens, we just can't stop. He takes off his helmet. And at this point, I don't know what to do. I know this is alarming. He's been kicked out of every daycare center. There's no nanny. There's no babysitter. It scares them to see a child doing this. So I just want to know, this is the first problem that I have. Would you accept him? And I said, yes, yeah, absolutely. That's not a question that you have to ask me. I get it. He's accepted. You're accepted. And she just started crying. And so I told her everything I wish someone, you know, told me. I said, you're a good mom. You're doing everything right. The fact that you're looking for resources means that you have it in you. God chose you to be this child's mother. It's okay. And so, yeah, so she cried and I'm like, okay, let me not cry. Let's just, wow, you know? And so, anyways, after several more conversations, some tours, she finally, brought him in. And so my, behavior therapist, you know, they analyzed them, you know, they watched them, they checked for triggers. They documented when he did it, when he didn't do it. And so what they realized is that, you know, he was self-sacrificing and self-harming. It hurt him, but he was doing it for attention. Mm. It was all attention-based. But if you think about it, anytime a child bangs their head, of course, people are going to run to them. They're going to get the attention that they looked for. So with the work of, you know, our behavior technicians and working through that, this child has not banged his head in 3 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
He's banged his head all his life. And it's been 3 weeks since he's ever done it. All the knots on his head, we've had to document and measure them when he started. They're gone.
Come on. I
walk through my building and pray for these kids and I pray for these families because I know I get it. And so to see that, I'm like, wow. You know, so look good at God, you know?
And so what does the mom say now?
Oh, she loves it. She sings, she tells the world.
Yeah, she tells
the world about us. And I said, you know, this doesn't mean that your child shouldn't still get one-on-one therapy. And she's like, what do you mean? You've done things doctors couldn't do. Mm-hmm. You did things medication didn't mm-hmm. do. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, I'm like, you know, I'm not doing it. It's just God, you know, it's just God. And this is what he's doing through me. And so I just told her, you know, I thank you for trusting us.
Yeah. So good.
So we have a lot of people who would pray for healing, for miracle, yeah. right? That their child wouldn't have autism, that God would heal them of autism. Yes. What do you do with unanswered prayer like that? And how do you feel you fit into this God who heals, yeah. the God of the miracles, the goodness of God?
You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is that I've never heard someone say that this is a prayer that nobody's answered. As a matter of fact, it's been the opposite. These families typically say, this is the answer to my prayers. You are the answer to my prayers. So it's literally been the total opposite.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Come on, you guys. Are you hearing that? That we can be the answer
yes.
to somebody's prayers.
Right.
And Deja yeah. and your school Spectrum of Love is the answer to many parents' prayers when they don't know where else to turn. And God is giving you the skills and the downloads and the solutions to help these children live a healthy, normal life.
Yes.
I love it. Would you just pray over the families who are really struggling with the fact that their children are special needs. They yes. don't know where to go. They don't know where to turn. They're hopeless. Yeah. They're sad. Yes. Their families are breaking apart. Their marriages are breaking apart. Just speak life over them. Yes. Pray over them if you would, Deja.
Father, I just thank you for the peace that you are giving them now. I thank you for the strength that you're giving them, the people that you're surrounding them with, Lord. I pray for you to give them wisdom and love. Help them feel loved and not forgotten. Help them know that their child matters, that there's nothing wrong with their child. Just difference doesn't mean wrong. And Lord, I pray that you just guide them, that you just give them a big hug, that you continue to put the right resources and guidance in their lives. Give them an open mind. Give them creative solutions. Strengthen them, strengthen their heart. And Lord, just bring them to where they need to be.
Jesus, I just thank you for Spectrum of Love. And I just speak over Deja and her team that she is a prototype and that you are leading her to bring this hope and help to communities all over the nation, all over the world, Father. I just believe that in the next 10 years that we're going to see Spectrum of Love become world famous for helping families with special needs children and specifically those with autism. And I just thank you for her. I bless her. I just pray in the resources. I just pray in the answers. I pray in the buildings, the workers, the finances, Lord. We thank you for her. We bless her. And we encourage her today in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
So, hey, if you need some help or an encouragement in this area, please reach out to Deja at deja.ard@spectrumoflovechildcare.com. I think that'll be in the notes here that you can go to. And yeah, you need to fly in or go by and visit yeah. and take a tour and see and partner with it. We just are committed, Trinity Church, we're committed to Deja and Spectrum of Love, and we're using every means we can to get the word out there. So we love you, Deja.
Love you too. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thanks for coming. You yes. guys have a great day and just be blessed of the Lord and let God just motivate you and stir your heart to help hurting people around the world.